Peace to brothers and sisters. Last week, we witnessed the suffering of Jesus on the cross for 6 hours. And as this each moment passed, and the wrath of God is appeased, and our Lord has received us to His eternal kingdom. Yes, Jesus has suffered every imaginable suffering on the cross. So, we do not want to just understand what He endured in the flesh, but in the spiritual realm, we must understand also what is happening in the spiritual realm. The pain that Jesus endured is beyond the physical pain. What is the most painful thing on the cross? So it's the Roman soldiers when they used the nails, pierce it into His hands. But is Jesus really fearful of the nails? Is the most painful thing? Is it the most everybody is insulting Him, and even the disciples left Him? Or is it when He saw His mother in agony? Is Jesus, is our Lord, afraid of men departing Him? So before He was betrayed in Gethsemane, He, if it is Your will, can remove this cup from me, but not of my will, but of Your will. What is this cup of suffering? What is this? That is the wrath of God against all sinners. This cup of wrath is being drunk by His begotten Son, and He suffered. He became a symbol of sin, and it endured the worst punishment of sin. And the Father turned away from Him. Actually, He said 7, My Lord, my Lord, why have You forsaken me? When Jesus came on earth, He is always calling out to His Father. And on the cross, and then now the Father become the God that judged Him. This hell has descended on Him. This is so much suffering in His spirit. The judge of the living and the dead. And He is showing His wrath on His only Son. This is a very spiritual thing. So sometimes Good Friday, we sing hymns. We remember the scene, how Jesus is nailed on the cross. He's full of pain. We have sympathy on Him. So we have a lot of empathy, we have compassion, and we put ourselves in His shoes. But do you know that you have? Do you know you are sinful? You are already judged. So when the Son, who is able to always communicate with God, now He is suffering this in the spiritual, in His spirit. Because our Lord Jesus has died on the cross and suffered and died on the cross for us, such that even the Father turned away from Him, so our Father will not turn away from us because of our sins. We have a lot of suffering. we have sickness, we have an interpersonal relationship, but you will not experience, you will not never experience the pain of God leaving you. That's just sometimes we feel, oh, God has left me, but that is just a feeling. The eternal truth is that God has never will not forsake you. Even if you sin and you're weak, you will feel accused. God wants you to turn to Him. Actually, the curtain has been torn apart, and God has given you a living and an active way. And He became the... He was forsaken by God so that you will not be forsaken by God because of your sin. So when we hear the message of the cross, we must know the blessings behind the cross. There will be some relative suffering, but the Bible tells us, why are there suffering? So do not think that when you are going through trials, you are paying off your sin. If you think that way, you are diminishing the effect of the cross. What Jesus has done on the cross is not something you can add on with your own zealousness or your own suffering. When you understand this, it means you do not know your gospel. And if you do not know gospel properly, Satan will have a foothold to influence you. You must be very clear. Do not use your own feelings. God will discipline us, but He will not curse us. He is definitely with His children here. So what is our problem? So sometimes we thought that in all this situation, God has left us. Sometimes we think we are such an unclean person, God will not hear our prayer. But this is but if you have these thoughts, it means you do not understand the cross. Satan knows that this is something that will always accuse us. Some people, you ask, why are they like this? Every little thing, they feel accused. They feel they cannot come before God. This person has a lot of conscience. It's not that he has no conscience. He has a lot of conscience. He has unbelief. He does not believe what Jesus has done on the cross. It's not something you can do. It's not your passion, your zealousness, your godliness can add on to the effect of the cross. Even you believe. Our it's our faith. It is just a wholehearted belief. Sometimes I see people like striving to believe. They want to believe before. I have a lot of my conscience is pricked. I need to suffer some suffering so that God will be pleased with me. This is wrong. So everything from human, everyone wants to use their merits, their performance to gain. All these are human religion. To gain the favor of God. After I know the gospel, I know I'm just drawn to God. In my weakness, in my helplessness, the more I want to draw near to God. God is, oh, I know I'm weak. If you cherish sin, if you cherish your sin, God will not hear your prayer. If you want to remain in sin and you want to rationalize your sin, God will not hear your prayers. But if you humble and repent your sin, you can come before Him because the new way has been opened up for you. In this point, we cannot just listen. We just listen to the message on the cross, and then we just stir up our conscience. We just want to feel empathy, sympathy. You just stir up our empathy. God doesn't need you to feel sorry for Him. But because what He has done on the cross, only He can do it. If you just humble yourself and know that, God, I can't do anything. I will believe, and the only thing I can do is to believe. So now, He said, it is finished. 6 hours later, the salvation of humankind, it is finished. He has given up His spirit to the Father, and how He was buried. These are all historical facts. It's not just a story we conjure up. We just it's not that you come here. If Jesus did not die, why am I sitting here? So our faith is just his resurrection. It's a historical fact. Let's see. Verse 28. When He was on the cross, you must look across the four Gospels. So we all know, last week, He said to John, this is your son, this is your mother. John, this is your mother, and John took care of his mother. Verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, so that the scripture will be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. If you sweat, if you lose water, you lose blood, he's dehydrated. He is saying that from a biological standpoint, so he's not even scared of the nails. And he has gone on through the torture and punishment. And then, why did he say, I'm thirsty? There must be a spiritual meaning behind it. When we look at it from a physical viewpoint, it is, but what is the spiritual meaning behind it? It is in spiritual meaning is that he has endured to the hell has descended upon him. So Lazarus and the rich man, and both of them died. And Lazarus is in the Abraham. I'm such a pain. Just give me one drop of water. Hell is not a, there's a sense. We do not become a wandering ghost after we die. We, this is not how we are designed. We have a flesh. Because of sin, this physical body will die, but the judge of the living and the dead, and those who belong to the Lord, they will have been resurrected. They will be received. They will receive a new body, and then come alive, and then come before God to be judged. This body, it's the state of his soul. So if you receive a righteous, so if they have sin, they will receive a body with that will be punished. This is something that they will feel. If you have not accepted the Lord, please, this is the moment when you leave, depart this world. This is something you do. So Bible tells of the heaven and hell very clearly. So Lazarus was so thirsty to the extreme. There is a, but this is all final. Jesus said, I'm thirsty. What does that mean? He has endured the sin of man to the extreme. So there is a spiritual meaning, there's a physical meaning as well. So there are people reacted to this, a jar of wine vinegar. So they soak a sponge in it and put a sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Where is this in the Old Testament? When they see hyssop, they talk. It's a Passover. So they need to dip it on the blood of the lamb, and then paint it on the doorframe. So what is happening here is all related to the Old Testament. We must differentiate this vinegar. So this is not the Mark 15:23. They offered him with wine, with myrrh, but he did not take it. He did not take it. This wine mixed with myrrh, it is anesthetic. It's not to relieve his pain, but Jesus rejected this. He rejected anything that can reduce his pain, because on the cross he wants to endure the cross to the fullest. But here, I'm thirsty. And then when he received this wine, vinegar wine, so his intention is to just have this thing to say the last words. Verse 30, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Maybe the most important word in the New Testament is, it is finished. This is a proclamation of victory. What is finished? From Adam onwards, the descendant of the woman, he has brought a promise, the prophecy, it is finished. is complete obedience to the point of death. So all our debts are repaid, and the righteousness of God is fulfilled. The power of sin has been defeated. All these things, who can believe this? Where is judgment? The people of the world will ask, what's power of sin? And my life is good. They will not understand this. For believers, this is such important things. It's a spiritual thing. Behind this material world, there's a perfect will of God, angels working, sin of man, and bringing about judgment on earth. These are things that happen in the spiritual realm. If you come to church to look for health and prosperity, this is not God. This is not Christian faith. We understand more than what is happening in the spirit, more than what's happening in physical realm. After the reading the Gospel of John, you will become a spiritual person. If you just join, I have shared 50 over session. Every word that John has written is very important. There's a lot of meaning behind it. And Jesus said, it is finished. There's no need to. You don't need the blood of animals or any other blood that is needed. You just need to come before the Lord in faith. So, verse 57, Matthew 27, say, at the moment, the curtain of the temple, the most holy place, when only the great, the high priest can go in. So when Aaron's son was offering unauthorized fire, they were all burnt. This is the presence of God's holiness. There was a curtain between the most holy place and the holy place. And the curtain was torn from top to bottom. Who opened this? Why it's from the top? It is torn into from top to bottom. So it came from God. Everything that happened on the cross, what happened? What is happening in the temple? What is happening on the throne of God? What's happening in the spiritual realm? What's happening in the temple? It's all related. From that moment on, all sinners, with our faith, we can come before God. And if Lord has done all these things, if you think you are weak, if you think you are weak and cannot come before God, that is not a matter of conscience. It's because of unbelief. All religion, there is show contempt to the salvation of God. So we know that we can only be justified by faith. And we need to believe what the Son has done on the cross. Maybe last time you were very godly in other religion. Sometimes every time you hear all this, and then you feel very weak. And then you feel, I'm so sorry, I have a lot of sin. Please forgive. Don't bring about this kind of mindset. Instead, the more weak you are, the more grateful you should feel. Such a sinner like me, the more you even a sinner like me, you can love such a sinner like me. Don't come before God with feeling embarrassed. It's a very big breakthrough when we have this So, brothers and sisters, this is, we all know this. When you, there's a lot of weird teachings in the churches nowadays. We must confess our sins. We must zealously confess our sins because our sins are too heavy. There's a lot of such principles teachings to the extent 17th century, there's a teaching. Preparationism. What does it say? The remorse, your state of mind, the preparation of your mind, and then trying to understand the different level of sins. How much pain we need to cry to do. Such things are very dangerous. It feels very holy, godly, but the quality of your repentance, do you reach this? When you such, it becomes a merit, becomes a performance base. God only says you are justified by faith. Only He has accomplished this for you. You just need to believe. And then you need to cry out your hearts out to prove that you have repented and sinned. So when you have this performance, you want to show yourself, you want to show this to yourself or God, then this is just the question is whether you have truly believed the salvation of the cross. This is something that we I need to confess here and there. So after that, you talk. So it's more a lot of emotional movement. You just you. Do you come before Him in faith? So I want to criticize. Not that I'd like to criticize others. I want to say this is anything that diminishes the effect of the cross. The salvation justified by faith alone in Christ alone. This is very important. This is our foundation of our faith. You cannot use your ill feelings or godliness of to prove this. So if you believe, what will you do? If you truly believe, will you let people around you go to hell? So, there's evidence of your faith, but you just need to believe. Don't use performance or your zeal. When you just have faith and you believe, because of your faith, and you will be weak, but because of your faith. Because of your faith, you bring your weaknesses before the Lord, because He knows He doesn't leave you. So, it is finished. It is, and with that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Stephen was slept and then he gave up his spirit. Christians, when we die, we sleep. We gave up his spirit. For Christians, some people die because their desires cannot put out their desires. So they open their eyes as they die. When as they grow older, the closer you are meeting to God. So all these pleasures, All these things you can put down. You should live. You have more peace in your heart. You just want to accomplish what God has given to you. And because the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews do not want the bodies to be left on the cross during Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. We know that some people may die on the cross after a few days. Jesus already weep. He has already been tortured before he was brought to the cross. So he died on the cross after 6 hours. So we know the when they crucified the Romans, when they crucified, their common practice is, it's not just everybody will see, so that there'll be, even if they have died, the body is left there. So the birds will come and eat the body. Israel is very disgusting. Why? It becomes a warning to rule, to beast, to these people. If you go against the Romans, this is your body. All these bodies are unclean. The Gentiles are also unclean. The Jewish religion, this in the Old Testament, it becomes a religion. They put the innocent. When you put an innocent person on the cross, they don't feel. They have this outward. They don't feel bad. But when they see a body, dead body, they think it's unclean. So when your family member is alive, do you love them? Do you take care of them? So some people, after their family member died, they quarrel over inheritance. If you know the gospel, you know, these are all hypocrisy of men. When we come before God, if you know the gospel, it's not just us having a good character. It's an inner transformation. There's a true love for people. The hypocrisy of the religious Jews. It's all religion is like that. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who has been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. We know there are two robbers. One of them repented. On the cross, you need to exert strength for you to breathe. And if you want to live, you need to exert strength. If your legs are broken, you can't lift yourself up. You will die of suffocation. Here we see, so the penitent robber suffered before death. But Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He knows. So this is also a word that is being fulfilled. So your temporary suffering on earth, some There is a verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. What is it reminding you of? When Adam, after God created, so from his rib, from his side, and created Eve. This is his wife. So Jesus, here on the side, it is pierced for his wife, for his church. God is the great director. All these things is. This is so beautiful. So the water, when the water, and why? Some medical people say. So some people say they die of cardiac arrest. It's covered with water. All the water will be. Rapture. There's a rapture of the heart. That's why we don't think so much about it. These modern people, study this medically. Actually, traditional explanation why water and when your blood is Jesus, every blood of Jesus is being is emptied of blood. That's why only water flowed out. The man who saw it has given testimony. His testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. This is John. All truth. You must be a witness. How do you know what happened in the past? If there's no witness, how do you know World War I or World War II? I just saw it. I heard it from my history teacher. How do you know World War I or World War II happened? Here, is it some stories made up by us, by Christian? When John is recording this, he's one of the witnesses. He wrote the Gospel of John, so that those people who read the Gospel of John can understand it. John is a disciple of Jesus. He said, "Who knew he? Whether it's true? You talk about your teacher." So God used many new non-believers, those people who oppose the Christian faith. Historian, they actually, when they wrote the history, it actually happened. There's Jesus. He grew up in this place, and he suffered under Pontius Pilate. So there's a lot of myth and legends. Some religion. So for Islam, they believe Jesus. They just believe Jesus is a prophet. Actually Jesus did not die. Actually he's on the cross. I talked to a Muslim before I shared the gospel with him. I asked him. They believe that the person who was nailed on the cross. So Allah swapped Judah with Jesus on the cross. So it looks as though it's Jesus, but actually it's Judas. All this, how they explain the world, there's a lot. There will be a lot of doubts for them. So we need to be very clear when we read this thing. How do you know Jesus? Were you alive 2,000 years ago? John. So some people will say, this is not what the Quran says. They'll say, historical records, AD 73, Marabah Serapion. This is when we learn apologetics, we know that he is a Stoic philosopher. He's a philosopher. When he wrote the letter to his son in this AD 73, there are three great injustices. Socrates, he is being murdered. Pythagoras, and he was burned to death. This one has a huge contribution. He was burned. It's the third thing. There's a great wise king who has been killed, and he meant Jesus. He will say such a thing. It's a historical thing. Josephus is a... When we read a lot of history, he's a Jewish historian, and AD 90, he talked about the history, and he talked about Baptist, John the Baptist, and talked about Jesus, and talked about how he was suffered under Pontius Pilate. So all historians will accept his record. Tacitus, AD 116, he said that Emperor Nero burned the city and blame it on the Christian. These are all facts. And then he said Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. In Babylonian Talmud, AD 200, Yeshu. They say it's someone who performed sorcery, but he died. He died under the Roman Empire. Even those, God used them so that they were right. There's really someone like Jesus, and then he lived and he suffered under Pontius Pilate. So we cannot deny this truth. So how he was buried and he's resurrected. If you can just read books on this, just, or in other words, our faith is not just it's a historical fact. Verse 36. These things happen so that the scripture will be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will not be broken. First, because his bones were not broken, his legs were not broken, so the bones were not broken. Because, why? In Passover, when they eat the lamb, this is something Gentiles cannot eat. When you eat, the bones of the lamb cannot be broken. Because the blood and water will be, but his bones is not. So all the prophecies concerning Christ were accurately fulfilled, so that we believe. So that's why when Jesus said, then when God is very logical. And he will talk away all these doubts. Nobody, when they come before God, you need not give me enough evidence. Evidence, Holy Spirit is given to you. Everything is given to you. It's only that you do not believe. Verse 37. They will look on the one they have pierced. So in Zechariah 12:10, here it says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Here, in today's terms, is it fulfilled? It's talking about the national repentance of Jews. In Old Testament, after we know New Testament, and then Acts, and then Acts come, and then Paul spread the gospel to Jews, but was opposed, and then he went to the Gentiles. And this 1,900 years, the gospel entered the Gentile world. So after this, so there will be a national repentance of the Jews. We know the time. If you go to Israel, only 2% are believers, and then they are not very clear. They have some sign, but they are hardened. They see those who are hanged on the tree is cursed. So today they still believe that the body of Christ is being stolen by the disciples. But one day, so the gospel will return back to Israel. Let's talk about the burial of Christ. So two disciples, secret disciples appear. Who are they? Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. But with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, Sanhedrin. In all this leadership, not everyone opposed Jesus, but there's a pressure. So they were like secret disciples. Of course, we know that because of faith reasons, of course, we need to profess our faith in public, but it may not be easy for them to. They have been always been listening. They believe Jesus, but they do not profess their faith. After they have suffered, they in the burial, and then they play a very important role in Jesus' burial. Why is the burial important? The Jewish are very concerned about the burial of a dead person. They will feel that this person is being cursed. If after they have paid the sin on the cross, after that, so what happens after that is really for to draw people to God. So they did very important thing. Joseph of Arimathea. So once he received the body, although the Bible did not, he must really bring a ladder, and then need to remove the, and then carry the body, and then need to wash his wounds. The whole body and his sides is all bloodied. The whole body. And he has to wash all this. If Jesus, he's not fatally wounded, Nicodemus and Joseph will be most familiar because they handled the body. If they said, Jesus did not die, he only fainted, and then he came. These Jewish leaders, the whole leadership opposed them. So Jesus has prepared for witness. Isaiah 15:5-9. So there was a, and with the rich in his death. So Isaiah 53:9. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And then so much mirth to of course, if you don't do this, you'll be resurrected. But if I'm Nicodemus and Joseph, when I touched the body of Jesus, this is a very touching thing. Verse 40. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. He was 3 days. Why 3 days? Oh, God wants 3 days means 3 days. I also think about. So, buried. The 3 days after burial, 3 days, this becomes a final conclusion. You need to be long enough so that you can. No, we don't just know this. Romans 6, we are buried and died and buried with Christ. Our old life is also buried. Now we are still sin. But we have no relationship with sin. Sin has been buried. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden, a new tomb, in which no one has ever been laid, because it was the Jewish day of the preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Here you see that, and every words of John recorded, Jesus was in the garden, and sin was buried in the garden. Adam also, the first Adam and the second Adam, it's in the Garden of Eden, and this Adam, the sin was buried. Here he talks about it's a new tomb. Why? Jewish also have this superstition that if I so is this person resurrected because he touched the body of a saint? God wants to make sure. But the reader, for the Jewish readers, this is nobody has entered in before. No chance for him. Nobody, no chance for him to be resurrected unless God made it happen himself. God is the perfect director. Even all the details tells us so that the later generation cannot deny the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And there's a lot of many weaknesses that God has prepared for us so that we know that our faith is true. It's not in just a spiritual assurance, but a historical fact. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. And you have given us the meaning of your death and resurrection, given us the spiritual meaning of this. So we do not take this lightly. We want to understand all these things. Our faith has a foundation so that we can explain to the world and we can protect the faith. We know that the things that we do is such so that because we know we have an enemy of our faith, there's always things that cause us to have confusion and doubts. Lord, we know that because you on the because you have become, you have fulfilled the righteousness of God, and the righteousness is credited to us. We give you thanks. And may all the glory, to all the glory be to Jesus Christ, because you accomplished the greatest salvation. We pray all this in this Jesus' name. Amen.